So our first reading and gospel today both take up these two amazing widows, women who were utterly destitute in both societies that they live in. These women who had nothing to go on with. In this first story from the first book of Kings, it's important to read a little bit around the story to give us the full context. At the end of 1 Kings 16, we're told that Ahab, the new king, the son of Omri, comes to the throne. And we're told, that's the very first way of introducing him, that he was evil, that Ahab was not a good man. But he compounds matters by marrying Jezebel, a woman from Sidon, a woman from the king of the Phoenicians. And so what happens is that Jezebel leads the heart of Ahab astray. That Jezebel is into the worship of the Baals, the god of the Phoenician people. And so Ahab becomes even more wicked and perverse. And we see that as this Elijah cycle of readings unfolds in chapter 17, 18, and 19. And so we have this woman who is utterly destitute. But in lots of ways, Elijah is also equally destitute, because he's gone off in the midst of this famine just to the Wadi, there on Mount Carmel, the place that becomes central to the ministry of Elijah. And the ravens come and give him food. There's a little bit of water, and he's able to drink from that spring. But through the course of the drought, even that fails. And so Elijah there is absolutely destitute. He's lost all hope. And so in verse 8, we're told that the word of the Lord was addressed to Elijah. So he does all of these actions as a response to this calling from God. And the word of the Lord says to Elijah, "Arise and go. Go to this widow of Zarephath that I will show you in the land of Sidon, and live there. Stay there." In the midst of Elijah's depression, the first word is significant. Arise. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own poverty that we're unable to see the needs of those around us. And so this first call that the word of the Lord addresses to Elijah is to arise spiritually. Lift up your head. See that there is a greater purpose that I have for you. Arise and go. Go to this place. Now, in the midst of a time of testing, a time when you're not wanting to leave the worship of God, when people are falling left, right, and center away from the worship of the true God, the one place that Elijah wouldn't want to go is back to Sidon, back to the place where Jezebel comes from, back to the worship of the Baals. And yet this is exactly the place where the Lord sends him. And to what town? To the town of Zarephath, a word that means a place of testing. And so it's there that Elijah is then sent. It's to that place, to that particular widow that the Lord addresses Elijah to say, "Arise, go and stay." And when he finds this woman, it's not in any great home. In fact, she's just there at the edge of the gate of the town collecting a few sticks, because he doesn't even have the fuel to create a fire. So she needs to find and scavenge enough wood in order to provide, to cook, to be able to prepare this last little morsel of bread and oil that she has in order to be able to feed herself and her son. And she knows that will be it. That will be the end of the story. She's absolutely at the end of her destitution. There's nowhere that she can go. Nothing, no hope that she can look for. But then Elijah comes. And like Jesus says to the woman at the well in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, Elijah addresses this woman and first says, "Please, give me something to drink." This wonderful call. And the woman responds, even though she's absolutely destitute, even though she has nothing to give, she serves. She gives of herself to Elijah. And then as she goes to make this final meal in this kind of ironic Jewish black comedy, something from a Woody Allen movie, then Elijah then says, "Ah, before you go, can you please bake me a little cake?" I mean, it's just this black, absolutely terrible comedy, in the sense that Elijah knows how destitute this woman is, and yet he pushes her. He invites her to respond, not just a little bit, but to the absolute extent of all that she has to give. And again, she says yes. When she has nothing to give, somehow she finds that strength in God to give. And this becomes the heart of the scriptures. This becomes the heart of our encounter with God. When we have too much of ourselves, when we build all kinds of idols around us, when we think that we can make do with what we have in ourselves, then it's never enough. We always want more. We're always clinging to that. But the Lord says, no, give and you will receive. So when we go to the gospel scene, when again we meet this absolutely destitute woman, when she likewise has nothing left to live on, the two small coins that she has are not enough to buy food. That are not enough to deal with any of the pressing issues that she has. She's just there at the very end of her existence. And yet, she gives it all away. She offers that to God. We don't know what happens to her. These are the last days of the ministry of Jesus during the course of Holy Week. Holy Thursday and all the events that unfold around that are only in a couple of days' time. So we haven't got the luxury in the story to find out what happens to this poor widow who puts in these two pathetic coins into the treasury. But we know the attitude of her heart. We know that she offers of herself and she gives of herself, trusting somehow in God. And that's the invitation for us. There's a wonderful line that I'm often reminded of in the short sayings of St. John of the Cross. And he says, "Where there is no love, put love, and you will draw out love." It's a wonderful, powerful teaching for us. Sometimes we just feel so desperate. Sometimes we feel that there's nothing left to give. And the way of God, the way of the gospel, invites us in those times precisely to give. If you're not feeling very hopeful, then be a person of hope. If there doesn't seem to be any joy in your life, then be someone who shares whatever joy you can muster with those around you. If there doesn't seem to be any life, any love in the situation, in the family, in the parish, that's precisely when we are called to put love, to put life, to give of ourselves, to share something of what we may not even have, and yet God calls us to give, to share, to offer, to be that person who is able to put love, to put joy, to put life, to put money into that situation. It's an utter paradox, and it doesn't seem to make sense at any level. And yet the witness of so many saints across the centuries have been able to say, no, this is precisely the way that the world is meant to work. And yet so often we just cling to the little things that we have and say, no, I can't possibly give that away. But the Lord will call us and challenge and say, no, arise, go and share what you have with others around you.